right? Grace. God giving us something that we do not deserve. And we've been trying to take a little bit of a more in-depth look at what grace is and what grace is really all about. And last week we talked about that daily grace that God gives us, that He blesses us with. And this week we want to look at that eternal grace. You know, we ask for praises and testimonies tonight of the good things that God has been doing. We listened to Tom and we were so excited, and we just, all of us, applauded in our hearts the grace of God, that daily grace that helped him to have Jason sitting beside him today. It's an example of daily grace. This week, I guess, praying and making a prayer a big part of my life. I remember as a young Christian, reading the Bible, and for different people it's different things in their Christian life, but reading the Bible was always kind of that Christian task that I found enjoyable and easy to do, because I knew exactly what I was supposed to do and I could check that off of my daily list. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is more than just checking off the daily list, right? Just like husbands, maintaining a good, healthy relationship with your wife is more than just checking off the daily things to do. It takes more than that. And prayer is a big part of your Christian life. And sometimes not knowing exactly what or how to pray. I can remember finding time to pray and being faithful in my prayer life was something that was very, very difficult when I wanted to have a serious relationship with the Lord. But you know what? In the last years of my Christian life, the power of answered prayer has been one of the biggest blessings in my life. And some of the greatest times in my life have been those times when you're walking down the road and you're just having a conversation with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you are amazed, amazed at how God answers. I remember this week just in things that last Sunday night, as I was standing up here, there were things that I did not know that I was going to be praying for this week. But throughout the week, I prayed for them. And I've said, you have to be willing, ready, and prepared to have prayer battles in your life. And be ready for praying for the long term. And be committed and consistent to prayer. That's important. But at the same time, aren't you so glad that we have a God that takes your prayer requests? Even the things that are going to happen to you this week that you're going to be praying for that you don't know right now that you're going to pray for. And next week, hopefully, you'll be able to say, amen, God, you answered prayer. And it was so amazing to hear Terry talk about how God answered that prayer in a big way for her. And Wayne, we've been praying for Juanita surgery this week, and I have to give testimony that we have a great God who gives us good things that we pray for, and we don't even know how God is going to bless us. There was something that I was praying for all week this week and was very dear to my heart. And I was praying and I was praying and I was praying about it. I just committed that to prayer. And today I came to church and I wasn't here 10 to 15 minutes and God answered my prayer beyond what I could even imagine. Our God is so good. He's forever been faithful to me. And I thank him so much for that. And I hope that you have found him to be faithful too, as you have prayed, as you have read his word, as you have followed what the commandments of the scripture are. So let's pray this evening as we talk about grace, and let's dive into God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. Lord, we've talked about the amazing gift of grace. Last week we talked about daily grace as we live our Christian life. And Lord, we thank you for these big and small things that you do for us, how you answer prayers. You answer prayers with relationships. You provide healing physically, spiritually, emotionally. You provide, you bless, you encourage. Lord, you give us things that we didn't even know we needed. And I thank you for that. Lord, you're so good. But today, tonight, we want to focus on, and we want to remember, and we want to say thank you for that eternal grace. Lord, I pray that you might just help us and encourage us. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I have written down here, grace in the New Testament is God's love, his boundless, compassionate love that would do everything to step into his creation to do an impossible work when we, the sinners of this earth, could not lift a finger to save ourselves. Grace means God sent his Son, his only Son, the Son that he promised to us, the Son that he loved, to descend to this earth, to hang on a cross so that we, the guilty ones, might be reconciled to a relationship with God and receive an eternal gift of heaven. And that's the amazing grace that we sing about. As I'm looking at this, I put in there a phrase. We can't lift a finger to pay for our sin. There's nothing that we could do. I kind of get a visual idea of like a kid reaching up to something that he will never be able to reach for, something he'll never be able to attain. And then that father coming along and taking that gift that he so wants and desires and is able to give it to him. But that example falls a little bit short, because then you kind of have the idea of how many of you have ever seen a kid that if he wants something really bad, he's going to find the means to reach it, right? But is the sinner ever going to be able to reach heaven on his own? Oh, but mankind will try. That's why there are false religions out there. People will say that there's more than one way to heaven. You understand that if there's more than one way to heaven, it cheapens heaven. You understand that? Heaven is precious. Heaven is eternal. God is great. Holiness is pure. And I'm so glad that there's only one way. And that one way doesn't have anything to do with this guy, because this guy is not making it. And neither are you. So, but anyways, let's talk about God's eternal grace. And maybe I've already talked about all the things that I've got up here. God's eternal grace. Worked good this morning, man. Is that me? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." When we talk about grace as God giving us something that we don't deserve, God's unmerited favor on our behalf, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 does a good job of explaining what's so amazing about grace. God took his son, Jesus Christ, and he made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I think about that. We talk about this. But I see that so much in the Bible, that we need to live righteously. But there is none that is righteous, no, not one. And I picture doing right versus doing wrong. Doing right, doing wrong. How many times do we do the wrong thing by God's standard? Not our own standard, not the world's standard, but by God's perfect standard. I have come to the conclusion that if I want to be confused for the rest of my life, and if I want to not know if what I'm doing is right or wrong, or and walk on eggshells and pretend like I'll do what the world says is right and wrong, if I want to live, if I just don't want to know, I want to always be in some sort of limbo, I'll follow what the world says is right and wrong. If I want to be confident that I know what I ought to do and how I ought to live and be able to walk down the street confidently and speak boldly, I'll do what the Word of God says. And I'll hold this book at a standard that is going to guide my life and direct my life, because it teaches me what is right. But I know that I've done what is wrong. I know that I've done things that would go outside of the bounds of Scripture. And I know that I failed, and I know I do not deserve heaven, but God took Jesus Christ and made him to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. I know in this passage of Scripture that Paul talks about we and us. But I could put myself in that, and I hope you would too, put yourself in that verse. We should use this verse as the corporate body of Christ, but we also need to make this personal. And if that's not personal for you, it needs to be, because you don't know, you don't understand what amazing grace is. And I am so thankful for God's amazing grace. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And in verse 15, it says, "But the free gift is not like the offense, For if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And so as I look at that, I see by faith and belief in Jesus Christ, I have God's grace. And I've accepted his free gift of salvation. We're all sinners. And we need his grace if we are going to stand before him justified. If we are going to stand before him reconciled to the Father. I am so thankful for the love of God which he poured out to my life so that I can have eternal life with him. I so often think about hope. And I love how the Bible phrases it. The world doesn't know hope. But those of us who know Jesus Christ, we have eternal hope. We have a hope that we are going to heaven. We are going to stand before Jesus Christ and before God the Father. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stand justified, reconciled. And we have hope that we will live and reign with him eternally. One of the greatest things about grace and salvation is we can't earn it. Salvation comes by grace. I can remember one time someone challenging me, and I think it's a challenge that most people ought to face in their life. But I think only a few it would actually make a difference. I think that the challenge that people should have to face, and maybe something we ought to say more often, is if you were to stand before God today, and he were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer? And can't you imagine just hearing some people's answers? Well, I was a good person. Right? You weren't a good person. And I've got the list. I can hear God saying that, right? You weren't a good person. There's the list. And don't you think some people go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Or, oh well, my parents went to church. Salvation has to be a personal thing, doesn't it? Well, I was baptized as a child. Okay. I went to church. I prayed before a meal. Maybe even, like we had usher training, I was an usher at church. I'm sorry, you guys, that were at usher training tonight. Being an usher at church does not get you into heaven, right? It's not the ticket. Wait, maybe it's I went out and I invited people to church. I put money in the offering plate. I did good things. None of those things can earn your way to heaven. Salvation is a much more expensive gift than those things can pay for. Heaven is worth a whole lot more than money put in the offering plate. Heaven is worth a whole lot more than a few prayers. Heaven is worth a whole lot more than reading the Bible. Heaven is worth a whole lot more than the sacrifice of a few Sundays and maybe a few missed football games. But things that are worth something cost something, aren't they? If you spend $40,000 on a vehicle, you do not expect it to break down the next day, correct? We know that that happens in this world. If you spend $20,000 on a house, you expect it to be worth, you expect a $20,000 house. You don't expect it to be a mansion. So when we talk about heaven, and we talk about the price of heaven, the perfect, spotless blood of Jesus Christ is the payment. And its salvation comes by the gift of God. And it's important. Let's look at a few verses. And these verses, I hope, are familiar to you because we use them often, and they are very, very important for us to remember and to look to. But in Ephesians chapter 2, and I hope that you even have this verse memorized. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's something I've been saying, and I'm going to continue to say it, and I'm going to continue to say it, and continue to say it. I am so thankful that I grew up in the time of the church. God could have just as easily allowed me to be born before the flood. I could have been born during the time of the law. I could have lived my faith in Christ alone and God the Father during the time of the tribulation. But Jesus Christ chose me to be born in the time of the church. And on top of that, he chose to place me in America, a place where I was free to be a part of the church. I just thank God that there aren't a whole lot of people that can say that with me. If you think about the billions of people that there have been, how privileged we are. And I read from the moment Christ starts teaching, from the very moment he starts teaching, he says, "I'm going to die, and when I'm dead, be glad, because I'm going to leave you with greater things. I'm going to leave you with a grace that the world is going to just change the world. And it's going to be amazing. And we are the beneficiaries of this grace." We looked at grace in the Old Testament, and we did not see what we see Paul talking about. Salvation, people were saved in the Old Testament from their sins. And there will be Old Testament saints in heaven. But I don't think that they were singing about the grace of the wonderful grace of Jesus like we do. You are so privileged to have Ephesians chapter 2. We looked at grace in the Old Testament. We looked at the king looking at Esther with favor and showing her grace. We see Joseph finding grace before Potiphar. But in the New Testament, we find, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And when God the Father looks at you, he doesn't look at you and say, "Oh, wow, what a beautiful looking child. I think I'm going to adopt him." No, he says, he looks at us and he sees Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And he said, "Because of my son and your belief in my son, I am going to adopt you into the family of God. And you are going to be a joint heir with Jesus and reign with him forever." That's why grace is so amazing. And I challenge you, read the words of Jesus carefully. And as you read them carefully, find out, as Jesus says, "When I die and I raise from the dead, I'm going to change the world. And I'm going to give you great things that are going to help you along the way. And one of the greatest of them is grace. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. God looks at a miserable wretch like me, and he says, I'm going to provide you heaven because of what my son did. Not because of what I did. If I had to compete with the Christians of the faith and those who have gone before me for God's grace and his favor, no way. I've told my wife this. I said, I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm great at nothing. And I'm okay with that. Like I've gotten to this point in my life where I'm okay with that. I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm great at nothing. And that's fine. I don't have to be great at anything. Because Jesus Christ was perfect, and he gave me the gift of his perfect blood so that I could spend eternity with heaven. I'd rather, if it was based on my merit, if I had to win a Super Bowl or a track race or be perfect my whole life or give a certain amount of money to the church or do a certain amount of things, I'd never make it. Not my house at home is not full of trophies that I have earned, and I'm okay with that, though, because Jesus Christ, he won the greatest gift of all for me. Nothing else really matters. That's why my favorite thing is I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Titus 3:5-7, another verse. We probably look, no, because it's just like, it's almost like it was written by the same person. Titus chapter 3, verses 5-7 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope, there's that word again, hope of eternal life. I thank God so much that I have hope, a hope of heaven. That I know that when I die, heaven is waiting for me and that Jesus Christ paid it all. No wonder, third point I got up here, is no wonder they call it amazing grace. And I know we use that phrase. Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve, and God is giving us what we don't deserve. I wish we'd just say, mercy is God withholding hell from us, and grace is God sending Jesus Christ to this earth, walking and living a perfect life, saying that's the standard that you need to get to heaven. And then him dying on the cross, his blood dripping off that cross, and saying that's the only price that can purchase heaven, the only thing good enough that can purchase that something that wonderful, that amazing, eternal life. And here it's yours if you'll believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it'll change your life, your existence, here, now, and forever. That's what grace is to me. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I love that. Because of Jesus, we have redemption. We have that being purchased back by God the Father through His blood, that great gift, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I mean, there it is, the gospel, grace. And it's for us, it's for me, it's for you. And it should change your life forever. I'm so thankful for God's great gift. And I hope you are today. And I hope this week, as you go throughout your week, you'll say, God, thank you for the cross. I thank you for your grace. And that you'll just live and just love that fact and thank Him for it.